I'm going to a wedding and the bride says, I knew there was something I forgot. Yet my people, not the world, my people have forgotten me days without number. That's a sad verse. And that's God writing. You see, there are some things that should never be forgotten. And since 1945, when Auschwitz was opened up and piles of thousands of corpses were revealed, there are some things we should never forget about what people can do when they don't have God and when they think that they can live without God, as Hitler did. We should never forget the Holocaust. We should never forget Victory Day and Victory in Europe Day back in World War II. Your grandparents will remember that day. They still celebrate it for America. It's December 7th that is not forgotten because that was the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. And so there's commemorations to remember that day. How about your wedding anniversary? Should you be alive after forgetting such a thing as that? There's some things you cannot forget. The government will never let you forget to pay your taxes. Right? They will make sure you pay your taxes. How about your wife's birthday? No, you can't forget that. These are things that you can't forget. Well, folks, there are some important things that a Christian can never forget, yet we do. So this is a message to remind you to remember some of these things. And I can't even begin to touch the hem of the garment. There's at least 20 things that are very important to God for us to remember. Do you ever think of how people like Daniel laid down in the lion's den and went to sleep? Do you ever wonder how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at that fiery furnace and says, let's go? Because there was something going on in their mind. There was something they were remembering. There were things in there that were helping them to do what God asked them to do. And that's a good memory. If they forgot that God was God, if they forgot that God took such good care of them, as you're going to see, some of these things will help you so that throughout the week when you hit a wall, when you hit a pit, when you hit a valley, when you hit a dead end, Lord, may the Lord bring these things back to your memory so that you say, it's going to be okay. Father, would you bless our learning tonight? Thank you for a good day. Thank you for the preaching this morning and now the chance tonight just to hear from you again. What it must have been to sit at the feet of Jesus day after day. It wasn't just on Sundays. It was every day. I got to hear something new and fresh, and it helped. It healed and it equipped and it changed and transformed. I pray that on our second service now, here on a Sunday, may you help and heal and bless your people. Teach us some things that we should never forget. The only way we're going to do that is if we determine to remember. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's start with the first one that really got me thinking. If you go to Psalm 40, probably one of the most descriptive psalms of night and day, of transformation of somebody. Psalm 40, verse 1, 2, and 3, as we read it. Let me ask you, what do you see of your life without God, without hope in this world? How do you view your life when it was without God? Look at Psalm 40, and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. So David is praying. While he's praying, he's remembering. He says, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I want you to always remember the pit you were saved from. You don't need to remember all the sin. You don't need to remember all the details. As a matter of fact, thank God you can forget some things, because God does. But there's some things you need to remember about your old life, because what the devil will do is he'll lie to you and say, it wasn't that bad. The Bible say your old friends weren't that wrong. The Bible, not the Bible, the world. The world will say, and the flesh and the devil will come along and say, hey, don't you miss that drink? Don't you miss that buzz? And you need to remember, it was a horrible pit. That's what you've got to remember so that you never go back. David compares it to a pit. If you've ever thought of what miry clay is, it's not like a bog. It's like 10 times thicker than a bog. I mean, when you step in it, you're not stepping out. If you do, your shoe's coming off. I think I was hiking with Martin and a couple of us years ago when we went up to the Black Valley, and we were running along, and I remember we got into this bog, and you start to run because it's so deep, and all of a sudden, and your shoe is back there, and it's just, whoa. But that was nothing compared to a miry clay. If you know anything about this kind of mire, this kind of clay is a thick, wet muck that will not let go. That was your life before you got saved. It was something that you could not become free of. As a matter of fact, the more you fought it, the more you lost. The more it grabbed more of your life. Now, we usually have only two views of our past. We have a view where we say that it was all bad. Or we have a view that we only see good in our past. And the truth is, we choose what we want to see. But the truth is, there are only two time frames of life. How you see your past determines whether you've had a BC or an AC moment. You see, there's the BC moment. That does not stand for Brother Craig either. And there's an AC moment, all right? But it looks like this. Across your life, there is before conversion. There's a time when you were lost. I once was lost, but now I'm... All right, there had to have been a time before conversion. Just as there was a time before the birth of Christ, there's a time under the Old Testament, there's a time after the birth of Christ in the New Testament. There has to be a time in your life where there was only you. And how you lived and how you got by. And then there's a time where you met Jesus Christ. And you don't meet Him eye to eye. You don't meet Him head to head. You don't meet Him equal. You meet Him on your knees. You meet Him defeated. You meet Him as a sinner crying out for mercy and begging God to have mercy on a sinner like you. There was a before conversion, and thank God there's an after conversion. Oh, is that perfection? Not on your life. There's nothing that great that happens here other than the fact that God forgave you. What happens, somebody says, well, I didn't get perfect. All of my sins still troubled me, and I still had struggles, and I still had all my memories. Yeah, amen, you're going to have that till the day you die. But there better have been a time where there was a moment, there was a defeat, not a prayer. Well, I prayed. Well, you can pray all day. There has to be a moment where you lost everything at the foot of the cross and you cried out and God then gave you eternal life. And at that moment, that's when a person, and this is where I want to make my point, as long as you're in the BC mode, as long as you're unsaved, everything you know is all you know. And when you look at people who are in the AC mode, in the after conversion, Christians singing on a Sunday night, what are you doing on a Sunday night at church? And an unsaved person looks at you, everything they know is normal. And they look at us and they go, you're weird, amen? But you know, once you move to the AC mode, once you've been after conversion, you look back on that and what do you see in the before conversion? You see a horrible pit. You see, you're never going to see your life as a horrible pit until you come and face Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. You realize He died to save you from your life. No matter how good you think it is, you've got to look at it and say, it stinks, I hate it. You never forget where you came from. Now, you probably had many good times. All of us had good times. BC. There were times where you thought life couldn't get any better, but they were just the pleasures of sin that last only for a season. All your drinking buddies. Listen, man. People that I knew when I was in secondary school, a lot of them are dead. Never got saved. Never got their attention on anything other than themselves and what they could get out of life. and they're dead. They're the pleasures of sin. What kind of a pit were you plucked from? That's what I want to ask you. Think about it. Was it a religious pit? I know people, they're almost becoming extinct. But you know, if you got saved, if you got born again, you got pulled out of a religious pit. A religious pit where you were in the bondage of trying to be perfect. You're in the bondage of trying to always do your best, trying to please this invisible God that resided in the stone walls of a church building. That's the religious pit. So you've got to look back and say, it was horrible. Amen. What kind of pit were you plucked from? Maybe it was an angry pit. Maybe your life was filled with nothing but frustration, battles, and you just lived angry. And then Jesus came. And you look back and this is a horrible pit. Never want to go back there. Maybe it was an empty pit. No matter how hard you tried, you found nothing in life worth satisfying. That's why people shoot up with heroin. That's why they try to take their life, because they live in an empty pit. No matter how many people, they can be in a crowd and still feel as alone as if they lived on Mars. What about a demonic pit? Your thoughts were not your own. Some people, man, we live in a day, people don't believe in God, but they're playing with demonic powers, stuff going through their head. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. Think about the pit you were saved from. Think of the potential pits that you could have gotten into that you've been saved from. What about the pit of pornography? Or the pit of drunkenness and drugs? What about the pit of rebellion? Hating any form of constraint or limits. Isn't it wonderful to be saved from horrible pits? You thought you were so powerful. You thought nobody was going to tell you what to do. Now you look back and you go, I was the biggest fool ever. Amen. A lot of people who look back on their life and they see a pit of failed families and failed upbringings. You know, Jesus is the perfect. Jesus shows us how to be in a family with a perfect father. Amen. You say, well, my dad wasn't great. My mom wasn't perfect. That's right. But if you got saved, amen, you got a perfect father. Failed families. I'm glad I'm free from the pit of failed families. Amen. My dad didn't stay around. My mom went through 4 marriages before she finally gave up on men. Yeah. So what do? I got a better father now. I still love my father. No one but Jesus Christ can deliver you out of that pit. You think of all the drugs and all the money that could be saved if people learn that there's a BC and an AC event in their life. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You can leave Psalms. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. If somebody in religion, if somebody's really religious, they came by and they saw someone in a pit. This is what a religionist would do. They would show you the steps that you should take to get out of that pit. These are the religious things you got to do to get out of that pit. If a pessimist, never hang around with pessimists, believe me. But if a pessimist walked by a man in a pit, he would tell a sinner, well, you're just going to die in there. Might as well get over it. If an optimist passed by, he would tell the sinner, I've seen worser pits. If a realist walked by, he would tell the man in that pit to just accept his pit. If an atheist came by, he would tell the sinner, there is no pit. But if Jesus came by, he would get into that pit and lift him out of that pit and set his feet on a solid rock and put a new song in his mouth. And that's what Jesus did for all of us. He robed himself in human flesh, entered the pit of this world, and died at the very bottom of this world. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, talking about how you live, in the vanity of their what? All right, so your mind needs to be changed. The way you think. Having the understanding darkened. Think about all the hours you spend in front of the television. Think about what it does for you. It darkens your understanding. That's why you need to spend time in your Bible. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they don't even feel the muck anymore. They don't even feel the loss. They have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, now watch this, this is going to help you, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former way of life, the old man. Repeat with me, the old man. Say it one more time, the old man. I want you to understand this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you now put on the new man. Say it with me, the new man, which after God is created with righteousness and true holiness. Now here's the point. Jesus delivers us from who we are. He doesn't just take us out of problems. As a matter of fact, after you got saved, did you notice God didn't move you? You still stepped in the same house. You still were married to the same man. After you got saved, you remember that? He didn't take you out of the miry pit of your situation. He took you out of the miry pit of yourself. He says it's time for you to put off the old man now, because Jesus died to free you from your old habits, from who you always have been. And that's the hardest thing to let go. I'd gladly move. I'd gladly get a new car. I'd gladly get a new job. I'd gladly get some new kids right now. I'd gladly exchange all the things that I thought were my problems. But my problems aren't outside. Where are my real problems? They're in the old me. When I look back and see the horrible pit that God took me out of, how thankful I am. Because God... Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you something. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Powerful set powerful list here in 2 Peter. What we should add to our faith. But verse 9 says this. But he that lacketh these things, in the previous verses, things that we should be increasing in our life. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from his old sins. Listen, all of our problems aren't, you know, the pit that we find ourselves in. And I'm going to build on this in a moment. The pit is who we woke up to every morning. The pit is what was going on inside of our head. The pit was the choices we made. The pit was the people we hung around with by our own desire and the things that we lived. And now that you're saved, aren't you glad that you have new friends? Aren't you glad that God sort of pushes you into a kind of a strange crowd? It gets you to read an old King James Bible. Not so up to date. Get you to sing some old songs. Get you to where you focus on things that you never thought about before. Amen. Remember what you used to do and say it was horrible. That will help you. What you used to think, what was most important to you before you got saved ought to be dirt to you now. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As a matter of fact, I'll describe it with a Bible word. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, which time is he referring to? BC or AC? BC. Before conversion. What things were gained to me, and boy, he had a lot of religion. He had a lot of things going for him. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count how many things? Circle that word, all. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but what? You might want to update that word. You know, you need to look back on your old life, no matter how good it was, no matter how much power you had, no matter how much money you had, no matter how much praise you had, no matter how much control you had, you need to look back on it. It was horrible. It was dung. Amen. You know what that'll do for you? It'll give you an appreciation for where you're at now. As long as you keep looking back, hello, Lot's wife. As long as you keep looking back, hello, Israel, coming out of Egypt. You're going to be the most miserable person on the planet. So, let me finish up here. All right. Second one, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Remember the way the Lord has taken care of you. Psalm 23. Find Psalm 23 in Psalm 103. Psalm 23, probably one of the most, next to Matthew 7:1, this is the most known verse in the Bible. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." So everybody knows that one. And then Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Think about that for a minute. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Do you know the Jews were directed 7 times a year to review all the great things God had done for them? 7 times a year, great feasts that they had to remember what God had done for them. I want to ask you, how has God taken care of you? Look at Psalm 103, just the beginning of this thing. You could read the whole psalm because it's all full of it, but just these few verses here, verse 1 to 5, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all His benefits." Forget not all His benefits. What are your benefits, Lord? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." Think about that. Think about, you know, when He says He forgiveth all thine iniquities, you think about that. That's a constant work He's constantly doing. It's not a one-time off. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us, constantly cleanseth us from all sin." Think about what God does for you, and you'll even know it. Think about it. You see, something we forget. What does it say in Jeremiah chapter 2? It says, "My people forget me days without number." You need to wake up tomorrow morning before you fix the coffee, before you get out of bed. You need to realize God is constantly cleansing you in the blood of His Son. Hallelujah. Amen. "Who forgiveth all." You say, "There's some sins, Pastor, that I just can't get over." God got over it. Amen. God got over it. "He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases." Well, He hadn't healed all my diseases. If anything ever got fixed, it wasn't because of the doctors. Now, the doctors help. Doctors get you on the right track. But you know what? If you ever get healed, it's because of one person. It's the Lord God Almighty. And a doctor will have to one day admit that. All he does is he tries to get you stabilized so that a magical miracle happens. Amen. How many things has God done for you, taking care of you? Man, redeemeth thy life from destruction. How many glad you're saved from hell? Amen. He redeemed you from destruction, man. Didn't redeem you from just a bad life. Didn't redeem you just from a sad life. Didn't redeem you. He redeemed you from hell. Amen. Think about it. You ought to wake up and go, "Woohoo, I'm not in hell." Amen. And we deserve it. He crowneth. How do you say it without just falling on your face? "Who crowneth thee." Think about crowning. Think of taking and crowning somebody. Such honor. Think about what He crowns us with: His loving kindness and His tender mercies. When He ought to just... How's God taking care of you? Tenderly, like a shepherd. He's taking good care of us. You say, "I've been through some rough times." Yeah, you'll go through some more. But if it weren't for the Lord, it'd be doomed. It'd be the dead end. "And He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles." How many times have you hit, as a Christian now I'm talking, where you hit and you thought it was over, you thought it's the end, I have no more strength, and all of a sudden, you're running again. And you wonder, how'd that happen? Because God does it. He always is taking care of you and always will. John 10 says, the thief cometh to do what? To kill. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life, and that more abundant. Hebrews 13:5. Let's go there. Go to Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. I'd like you to try and live by that for a week. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, he's promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's always taking care of you and always will. Never forget God's care of you. Think about where God has you. That's God's care. That's God. And then, most of all, trust His perfect care. Isn't that what it says in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You're not going to trust Him if you don't think He's taking care of you. But if you believe that He's always going to take care of you, you can trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him? It's a simple word. It means remember Him. Look up and go, Lord, I acknowledge it's You I'm trusting. It's You that I'm leaning on, I'm waiting on. Amen. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Remember Him. And He'll direct thy paths. Third thing, remember the chasing. Now we go to the hard time. Hebrews 12. Go back one page. Never forget the goodnesses of God. Never forget how God has led you along your way. But also, never forget the love of God that He showed when He caught you doing wrong. Amen and amen. And He caused you to fail and caused you to reap what you have sown. Never forget the chastening of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 12 and verse 5, down to 8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Listen, God says don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't forget God's negative intervention in your life. How many remember Balaam? He's riding a donkey. He's going to go make some money. He's going to make a lot of money. And God stops him, doesn't He? Thank God. Thank God that when you tried to do some sin, the telephone rang. Amen. Thank God when you were being lured and tempted something and it came out of your own lust and you decided, you know, I'm going to go back to the old ways. Man, just the car wouldn't start or you lost your phone and God stopped you. Amen. And then also thank God when you got caught and the humiliation. Hallelujah. Do not forget the chastening of the Lord, because without that chastening, you're not His child. God does it because you are His child. He doesn't do it if you're not His child. So don't faint when you're rebuked of Him. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Listen to the writer. It might have been David. I don't know. Sometimes you think it's David. Sometimes you're not sure. But whoever wrote Psalm 119 was an amazing believer. Psalm 119, obviously God wrote it, but it's through a human author. Psalm 119, verse 67. Listen to the first time this writer says these words. When God rebukes you, when God humbles you, when God corrects you, He's doing something marvelous in you. Look at Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was, what's the next word? I don't like that word any more than you do you? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I did my own thing. But now have I kept thy word. I obey thy word. So affliction was good for him. Amen? Let's look at another one. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been... What's the next word? Oh boy, you guys are pitiful. What's the word? Afflicted. That I might learn thy statutes. One more. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness, not the devil, but that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Amen. Amen. You go through chastening, don't forget, it's a good thing. Because if there is no chastening, then there's been no conversion. You don't belong to God. That means endure it. Put up with it. Accept where God has you. Let God humble you and make you holy. Listen to back in Hebrews 12. We won't go there. But furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, parents, who corrected us and we gave them reverence. What did we ever? You see, I grew up different than the kids are growing up today. I grew up when my dad took his belt off, we stood at attention. We gave them reverence. We said, yes, sir. My dad only had to look. Hey, man, you say fear? Yeah. Do you ever get brutalized? No, I could have used 1,000 more whippings. They never brutalized me. I know there is abuse. But let me tell you, your Bible is not an abusive book. We had fathers who corrected us and we gave them reverence. You know what kids do now? They give grief. It's the only thing they know what to do. They just give grief. And we're headed down a path. This generation has no fear of God, no fear of anybody. It's a sad day. We gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our parents, verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. They did it because we got in their way. But He, God, did it for our profit that we might be partakers of His holiness. Amen. Why was God correcting me? Why was God getting me in trouble? Because He's trying to sanctify, trying to make me holy. Amen. Amen. Folks, for whom the Lord loveth. Say, Lord, you really must love me right now. Wow. For whom the Lord loveth, He chases and He scourges. There's not one son who's not in trouble with God at some point in time in life. You find me one person in this Bible who didn't step out of line and get in trouble with God. You show me Moses. You show me Paul. You show me any time, any one of them, God had to deal with them about sin in their life. Amen? So be it in our lives. If you don't have God catching you in sin, you need to remember this. You need to look back and wonder, in my life, as anything goes, if anything goes in your life and you never get caught, you never get in trouble, there's no second voice, not your conscience, but a second gripping voice inside of you saying, no. I'm going to have to deal with you if there's no second voice, if there's no conviction of sin. You need to get saved. You need to examine your salvation and go, you know what? That's the clearest verse in the Bible that says, if there's no chastening, if there's no catching by God and getting you in trouble, then it's because you don't belong to Him. One of the most comforting things is when a Christian does get caught, you go, phew, that means I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Remember, the Lord's chastening. Don't forget the reason why you're saved. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. We'll rapidly finish this up. Hebrews chapter 9. Don't forget the reason why God saved you. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, how much more shall He purge your conscience from dead works? Why? Why did He wash me in His blood? Why? To serve the living God. Think about it. Why did God save you? You were saved from a devil's life. See, Brother Dan preached about a devil's hell this morning. You need to fear ending up in a devil's hell. Amen. But you need to fear living a devil's life just as much. You see, don't forget the reason why God saved you. He saved you from living a devil's life because He loved you. Because He's got a purpose for you. Salvation is not a life without purpose. It's impossible to be born again and not have a purpose to your life. Some people say, I have to be a pastor? Do I have to be a preacher? Do I have to be a missionary? No, those are just a few of the great tasks that God may have for somebody in this room. Just raising a godly generation of kids is a high calling. Just leading singing and coordinating music and driving the bus on a Sunday morning, picking up people, is a high calling. Amen. Don't get the idea it's only these three or four things at the top, don't you? But every person in this room, if you are saved, don't forget God has a purpose for your life. He has a calling for you. Don't forget that. You should never come to a Sunday and go, there's nothing for me to do. There's plenty to do. You need to think on Monday, God, show me what I need to be doing. If I need to be involved in discipleship, if I need to be in Bible Institute, if I need to just get ready so whenever you tell me what to do, I'm ready. Amen. Salvation is not a life without purpose. What is our purpose now that we're born again? Think about it. Many people forget, and many more people never known the purpose of being saved. And it's not just one purpose either. I wish I could read all of these. I'm not. But I'll give you five things that, five out of probably two dozen, that are our purpose. We're going to say the first purpose, why God saved you, so that you could know Him. You can't know Him without being born again. It's like a blind man. Say if Joel was blind, and he's trying to fall in love with Alicia, and he says, her voice is so amazing. Just wish I could see her. And somebody comes along and says, we have an operation. Allow you to see Alicia. Would you take the operation? Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. Well, the difference is, I could never even hear God. I couldn't sense Him. I couldn't know Him until I was born again. The reason why He saved us is so that we could know Him. This almighty creator who created everything that every atheist is going, show me where you are, God. Prove you're there. He'll never see Him. No matter how much you try to prove to Him. No matter how much evidence you show. They'll go, I can't see Him. You can't see somebody without the new birth. Can't see God without the new birth. End of story. So the reason why He saved you was so that you could know Him. This is eternal life. That they might know Thee, the only true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus said. Secondly, to glorify God. You think about how much time your boss gets out of you getting you to glorify Him. Amen. You work for somebody, all you're doing is trying to make them look good, trying to make them money, and they're giving you a little bit back. Amen. You know why you were saved? You were saved to glorify God. Direct as much attention to Him as possible. Get people to be very impressed with Him. We failed at that, haven't we? Everybody mocks God. I mean, the filth, the language that's here is not because God is so wimpy. It's because Christians have not glorified God. On the job, in the neighborhood, we just don't glorify God. To enjoy God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Did you ever just do that? You ever just sit there and go, I just enjoy You, Lord. When King Saul was going away from God, God said these words about David. He said, Samuel, I'm through with Saul. I have found a man after my heart. That's cool. I found somebody who just enjoys me. That's cool. That ought to be our testimony. Don't forget, you were saved to enjoy God. How many of you enjoyed sin? Yeah. You enjoy a good movie. You enjoy a good dinner. You enjoy all the things of this world. It perishes with the use. Let's remember to enjoy God. I mean, just, forget about who's watching you and just start enjoying God. And serve God. Revelation 22 verse 3 says this. You know what you're going to do in heaven? You think we're going to be floating around playing the harp, you know. You might learn to play the harp, who knows. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be serving God. For all eternity. If He needs something done, you think some Christian's going to say, no, Lord, I'm busy. Man, heaven's going to be awesome. And you know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Same thing we should be doing right here. Serving God. And we should serve others. John 13, what did Jesus do when he wrapped that towel around his waist and he stooped down at Peter's feet? What did he do? He washed men's feet. Nobody does that. And he says, as I have done this to you, so do it to one another. Serve one another at the lowest level. So, what were we saved for? You want a purpose? That's your purpose. That's enough to keep you busy for a month of Sundays. Amen? Don't forget your purpose. Find something to keep you busy. Because if you're not busy doing something for God, who's going to give you something to do? Don't forget to be thankful. Look at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to read these through real quick. Find Romans 1, Ephesians chapter 5. And with your third hand, get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Romans chapter 1, Ephesians 5. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Because that when they knew not, when they knew God, talking about people in general, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? You know what men's problem is? They're not thankful. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, 20. Giving thanks always for some things. Glad you caught that. For all things, unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for all things. Ephesians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you remember to thank God? Do you remember to be thankful for the little things? It says we should be thankful for everything and in everything. I got a question for you. Instead of asking you, what are you thankful for? Are you ready? What are you not thankful for? Now you'll stutter. What are you not thankful for? If there are things in your life that you're not thankful for, it's because you don't understand that God was doing something in your life, not the devil. What was Job going through when he sat there on those ashes? Was that Satan, or was it God allowing and working something wonderful? Who did Job want to talk to and want to get things right with and figure things out with? It was God. Listen, when you're going through something and you can't be grateful, you can't be thankful,